James and Rupert Murdoch faced a humble moment before the Parliamentary Committee in the United Kingdom, facing up to these issues that have arisen from the phone hacking scandal. In particular, questions around the culture of the Murdoch media and knowledge of payments to people linked with criminal activity were met with denial. Closer to home, the scrutiny is surrounding how indeed The Australian is reporting on these issues, with the paper belonging to the News Limited Group. Nathan Coates decided to investigate further. Professor Alan Knight is the head of journalism at the University of Technology Sydney, and Nathan Coates is a journalism student at UTS, as well as our Fourth Estate reporter. Not venturing into these ideas lightly, this is the first of two parts about the issues that have arisen from this scandal.
In the Culture Committee, a term was brought up, willful blindness, which apparently arose from the Enron investigation.
Yes, I heard it was interesting, wasn't it?
Willful blindness potentially being a principle underpinning the Murdoch culture.
Well, I watched the Murdoch performance, and I found the Sergeant Schultz defence really interesting. There used to be a program called Hagen's Heroes, and Sergeant Schultz always used to say, "I know nothing, 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 I know nothing." And essentially that kept ringing in my ears as I was watching the Murdochs. I mean, clearly it was a carefully prepared response which they made, and essentially they seemed to seemed to be very large amounts of money moving around within the organisation, which the senior executives apparently didn't know about. Now, perhaps that's true. And if what they say is true, I think it raises serious questions about the level of the quality of governance within the News Corporation itself.
In response to the content of discussions that Rupert Murdoch might have with his editors, he said, quote, "What's doing?" Is that becoming of a CEO of a News Corporation?
Yeah, Murdoch's always operated like that. If you actually read the things that have been written about him over the last 30-odd years, Hugh Lunn wrote a really good book called Working for Rupert, and he described the way, what would happen when Murdoch lobbed into Australia. You know, he said it was terrifying because Murdoch used to seem to know exactly what you'd been doing and what you hadn't done. And he described the executives responding like a herd of panicked gazelles, you know, sometimes jumping to their own destruction. So certainly Murdoch used to have a very close and intimate knowledge of what his journalists were doing. Now, if you take what he said when he was talking to the British Parliamentary Committee, it would seem that that's no longer the case.
Reportage of News of the World in the Australian press has some quantitative issues amongst the tabloids. It's underreported in the Daily Telegraph. What about the qualitative issues amongst the broadsheets? You did an interview on the BBC yesterday in which you highlighted the differences between the Australian reportage and the Sydney Morning Herald reportage. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, well, what it was that the Australian basically appeared to be significant differences. The way that the photograph that was used, it was the same topic. It was the Murdochs appearing before the committee. The Australian had the photograph showed Rupert touching the arm of his son, looking quite concerned. And on reviewing that, that was actually the time when he delivered the message about being humble, which sounded really like something a PR person suggested he should say. In the background, Wendy Dung was looking concerned. The Herald had a different approach. It actually had the same grouping, but both Murdoch and both the Murdochs looked worried. So there was actually a message in the way those photographs had been selected. I haven't got the exact wording in front of me, but in fact the Herald stressed about how they were ashamed, and there was, you know, and talked about the scandal. The Australian began, and its lead sentence was about Murdoch's claim that in fact a whole lot of this had been stirred up by competitors within Britain. Once again, that's an interesting view. I haven't done a study on, and it would be very useful to do a content analysis, looking at how precisely this issue was actually covered.
I think the Conversation is undertaking that study at the moment.
Yeah, well, there you go. I'd be interested to see the outcomes. But until that's done, I couldn't say for certain. But certainly, look, I mean, we know that in the past, that in fact, criticism of the Murdoch family has not featured highly in News Corporation newspapers. You know, it's just not there, you know. And
Is that a problem? I guess when Rupert Murdoch or News Limited owns 70% of the Australian press.
Well, you've just answered your own question. It's not a problem that they've got an opinion. It's not a problem that they make decisions about what they'll run and what they can't run or won't run. That's up to them. It is a problem when, in fact, there are no alternatives.
Payment for stories, is that ethical and legitimate journalistic practice?
Well, it happens, and you have to really treat it case by case. You know, sometimes the story is so important that there may be no other way to get the information. I mean, you make a judgment on on the public interest.
Do you think it's credible that neither James or Rupert Murdoch were aware of large payments to people linked with the phone hacking scandal?
Well, that's what they say. If they're not, that indicates, in my view, that raises really serious questions about corporate governance within News Corp.
Why do you think UK Prime Minister David Cameron asked Rupert Murdoch to enter number 10 Downing Street through the back door for their meeting following Cameron's election victory?
You'd have to ask him, but essentially one of the ways that News Corp have operated over a very long period is through the endorsing of select politicians. For example, Murdoch endorsed Tony Blair, and Tony Blair was an invited speaker at their annual conference of editors. So it depends on who News Corp was supporting at the time. Why they used the back door? Well, you'd have to ask the Prime Minister that.
Jay Rosson from New York University Journalism commented that News Corp is not a news company at all, but a global media empire that employs its newspapers and in the US Fox News as a lobbying arm.
Well, I'm glad Jay actually picked up on my article in The Age and also what I've written previously. Yes, of course, that's obviously true in the sense that newspapers now are a very small part of the News Corp business. News Corp, among other things, is 20th Century Fox. It actually publishes music. It publishes literature. It's got a book publishing company. It's actually got interests on the internet. It's a vast, cross-transnational, vertically and horizontally integrated business of which news is part of the cultural package. And Rosen is right, but I've been arguing this for a number of years. I mean, essentially, you cannot see a news corporation as simply as a news organisation, and it cross-promotes. So in actual fact, the movies that it makes are, written about in its newspapers. The stars are interviewed on its television stations. Things about them go on the websites. The musical themes are actually published, and the actual scripts are published as books. You know, it all fits together, and that's part of their corporate strategy and has been for quite a number of years. Murdoch describes this as a model for 21st century media organisations.
Professor Alan Knight is the head of journalism at UTS, as well as the former head of the Friends of the ABC.